Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's try that one more time. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. See your pens. And let's see your notebooks or your lesson plans. Now, we get these lesson plans every week, and we have notebooks that you can put them in. They look just like this, so if you want to get one and collect and keep your lessons from week to week, just go out into the bookstore and get one of these little notebooks. One announcement before we get into the message. Next week is what we're calling Sports Day. We don't know what we'll call it long term, but we have invited and continue to invite anybody that's on a sports team to invite your whole team with their jerseys or jackets or whatever. I coach a Pop Warner team. I invited the whole Pop Warner team and all the cheerleaders. We have about 25 kids on our team, and we have 35 cheerleaders. They're bigger, stronger, faster than we are. I mean, for real, we race them and they beat us, and they're unbelievable. We've invited them. We don't know how many are going to come, but we've asked them to wear their jerseys, and the cheerleaders are going to wear their jackets and get their hair all done up nice. But if your son or daughter is on any kind of team whatsoever, please ask them to invite their friends and their parents to church. And whatever service you come to, just invite them. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray for them, okay? And then they're going to hear the gospel. So let's do that next week. Turn to, please, Genesis chapter 39. Just recently, my two teenage daughters got their driving permits. Pain. So we had to take them out, drive. And when I don't remember when I was, when we were young, most of whoever would consider that a we, having to drive like 50, 60 hours before you got your license. I remember getting my permit and kind of taking a class and getting a license. Well, now they got to drive like 60 hours or something like that. So with us, with the parents or whoever. So, you know, they got them this week, and we had to take them out. And we have a Suburban, and my daughter's, you know, little. And when you come out of our street, as soon as you come out of our street, the traffic's real fast. So it's not like, you know, we could just drive around the neighborhood. They had to come out of our street and go. So, it was stressful for my wife and I. And I took my daughter out yesterday, and we drove and we went into someone else's neighborhood. And we drive around, and I said, okay, let's make a left turn. And she thought when you make a left turn that you come down the street and then you move over to the left, then make the left. So we had to correct that before anybody came and hit us. And so we're driving down the street. We're in this, like I said, someone else's neighborhood. And this woman, mom, and her little son, he was learning how to ride a bike. And so, you know, I said, slow down, don't hit the kid. And then we passed the little boy, made a left into a driveway, and as we made the left into the driveway, the little kid and the mom rode behind us. And now he's taking all kind of sweet time. I'm like, brother, you are in the danger zone. You need to get the moving. So I rolled down the window and I said, you know, are y'all going to go by, or what are y'all going to do? Are we going to sit here all day, whatever? So she said, well, that's my house. I said, okay. I said, that's fine, but you still got to move your son. Because he was literally in the street behind the car, and we had the car in reverse. So, and nothing happened. I mean, he moved over. But I said, you know, before you know it, you're going to be doing this. And you're going to be feeling my pain. We started it last week talking about Joseph and trials. How trials, what goes around comes around. Everybody in here has been through hard times. And everybody, some of y'all are in hard times, and some of y'all are going to, all of us are going to be in hard times again. Whether you have kids or not, you will experience the pain of teaching little kids to drive. It's going to come one day. And it seems like, and now that my kids are getting older, I look at parents with little kids and think back to how soon, how quick it goes. But as we look at this story, we're going to look at what we can learn about how to deal with trials when they come. They will come. And they will come again. That's not the point. The point is, what do you do when you when they come? Let's do a little review. If you're looking at your lesson plan, let's review a little bit what we talked about last week. It says, we're talking about Joseph. Point number one, last week we talked about planning, plan with the end in mind. As a Christian, you should plan ahead for hard times to come. In other words, what are you going to do when someone curses you out for no reason? What are you going to do? Are you going to go, what, and curse them back? Or are you going to go, no, if they say this, I'm going to say this. What would you do if you lost your job? What would you do if the person you're dating dumped you? What would you do if you lost all your money? You got sick. You should think about now, I need to get ready to be godly and patient and spiritual now before it happens. Now, point number two, it says, do not wait for hard times to come to get ready for them. In other words, don't wait for tragedy to strike to start praying to be ready for tragedy. Don't wait for hard times to come to start praying and reading your Bible then. Do it now. We talked last week about the tomato frog. The tomato frog is a little red frog that when it gets attacked, it leaks out this white milky poison over his body. So when something starts to eat it, it leaks out all this white poison. So whatever's eating it, chewing it up, spits it out. The problem is it's already chewed up now. It survived, but, you know, it's hopping like this. Okay, you don't want to wait till the devil starts beating on you to start praying. Okay? Three, hard times are the best learning opportunities of our lives. You will learn more during hard times than you will during good times. You will learn more during hard times than you will during good times. We had a game yesterday. We won 52-0. And all the kids on the team are like, Coach, give me, I'm the offensive coordinator, so I call the plays. Give me the ball. I want to score a touchdown. You know, because everyone was scoring touchdowns. So at the end of the game, it was like a minute left. The other coach called time. I went in the huddle, and all the kids were in there. Give me the ball, coach. And I said, shut up. I says, this is not reality. It's not going to be like this all the time. Don't think it's all y'all superstars now. Next week, the team is going to be over there. It's going to be very different. They didn't learn anything. All they thought was, we're great. That's not going to be true all the time. So when things are going good, we think, oh, we can do anything. It's when hard times come that you really learn what you're made of. And you really learn how to pray. You really learn to hear God's voice. When things are going good, hey, you're on top of the world. Not that you don't enjoy it, but don't think that that's the norm. And don't think that that's the only part of your life that's from God. When hard times come, that's what you learn. Number four, life is not defined by one incident. If you have a bad incident, someone dumps you, you lose your job, you go broke, your business goes bankrupt, that does not define who you are. What defines who you are is your life. Going through those times, I was watching Serena and Venus play tennis yesterday, and 2 years ago, last year, but definitely 2 years ago and before, Venus would always beat Serena, all the time. And I felt bad for Serena. Now, Serena beating Venus. And I guarantee you, when Serena was losing, Serena was thinking, one day, I'm going to get you. One day. She wasn't saying, this is how it's always going to be. So when you have a hard time, don't say, this is how it's always going to be. You have to ask yourself, God, what are you trying to teach me? And I guarantee you now, Venus is thinking, I'm going to get you back. Your life is not defined by one incident. Number five, hard times never seem to be fair or bearable. They never seem to be fair. Why me? I can't take it. God says he will never tempt you beyond what you can bear. Will always provide a way out with every temptation. Okay, that's a review from last week. Let's look at the next three before we get into the text. Number six, Joseph went through hard times. We're going to look at his story in a minute. But a few things about Joseph. Joseph was destined for greatness. God told him in a dream, your family will bow down to you. Joseph was destined for greatness. What about you? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is a fact. When God thinks about you, God thinks good things. When God thinks about you, he thinks about how he can bless you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Now, that doesn't mean if something bad happens to you, he's not thinking about you. But his ultimate plan is to get you a place of peace, not of pain. Of good, not of evil. That's what he says. You have to believe that. Even though your life may do this. He's thinking good things. Next one. Joseph's journey to greatness had ups and downs. What about yours? Joseph's journey had ups and downs. The Bible says in Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, when you think about your life and what you want to do, you can sit there and say, here's what I would like to happen. I would like to always have it be easy, make a lot of money, have a beautiful family, live in a nice house, and have no problems, right? God says, that's not my ways. That's not my ways. And check us out. Not only are they not my ways are higher and better than your ways. You have to trust that, even when you don't understand. Even when you don't understand. There's a pastor in Orange County. I believe it's Orange County. Raul Reese. I'm trying to think of the neighborhood. Anyway, he told me when he started his ministry, his church, thousands of people now, but his first 3 years of his ministry, he had like 35 people in his church. And he said for a whole year, he never heard God's voice. Never heard God's voice. You know what God did? God did this. Just left him there. Now, he was with him. He just didn't talk to him. At least he didn't think he talked to him. But God was still there. Why would God do that? I don't know. Maybe God wanted him to seek him, and to make sure Raul knew how faithful Raul would be. Now, guess what? If he don't hear his voice for a day or two, he's not going to be tripping. He went a whole year. No problem. God's ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways above our ways. They're always better according to his wisdom. When we question God, we put ourselves to judgment of God. In other words, God, you're wrong, I'm right. Whoo! That's just stupid. That's not even unwise. That's stupid. Number 8, Joseph kept his eyes on God's promises. Amidst all his trials, amidst all his pain, he kept his eyes on God's promises. Have you done the same? Paul says, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what happens, I am going to press on and keep my eyes fixed on the goal. Now, let me give you a little review of the story. Joseph is 17, he has a dream. Tells his parents and his brothers and sisters, my dream is that one day you will bow to me. His father says, you must be tripping. His brothers didn't like him, so they figured, let's get rid of him. So they decided, let's kill him. Then one guy said, no, let's not kill him because we won't get anything. Why don't we sell him? So they sold him into slavery. He gets sold, taken down to Egypt. He gets sold in Egypt, works for Potiphar's wife. Potiphar is a servant of Pharaoh. Potiphar's wife starts to come on to Joseph. The Bible says she casts longing eyes on a brother. Okay. Then she says, Joseph, lie with me. Joseph says, no, I ain't lying with you. You know, you're my boss's wife. He's given me everything. I have ultimate power. You're the only thing he's kept from me. I ain't going there. So the Bible says day by day, not just once or twice or here and there, day by day, lie with me. So the Bible says he gave it a Heisman. Bam, bam, bam. And he finally ran from her. When he ran, she grabbed his cloak, his clothes, and ripped it off of him, and he ran. Then she said, look, he came in to rape me. He got put in prison. She lied, okay? Now he's in prison. He got sold by his brothers. He got sold again. He got betrayed by his master's wife. He did nothing wrong, okay? You got problems? Not like this. Amen. Look at your lesson plan. God expects your continued ministry even in your trials. Joseph continued to use his spiritual gifts during hard times. That's the first point I want to make to you. Whatever you're going through, use your spiritual gifts. When I'm having a hard day and I'm somewhere, I don't feel like witnessing nobody. I ain't telling you nothing about Jesus. That's what your attitude is. I don't want to save you from hell. I'm having a hard day. What kind of attitude is that? If I'm having a hard day and I'm in the mall, just the fact that I'm at the mall, I'm having a hard day. If you ever see me at the mall, pray for me. If you ever see me, don't, before you come say hi, how you doing? I go to Rock, because I'm probably not going to be happy. Just pray for me, then come say hi. If I'm at the mall and I have an attitude, that is no excuse to not use spiritual gifts God has given me just because I have a bad day. God expects you. Look what it says in verse 21. Joseph was in prison. Verse 21, chapter 39. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever they did, it was in Joseph's doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. Say the Lord. The Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him prosper. In your lesson plan, Joseph's reputation was strengthened, evidenced by how much was trusted into his hand. His reputation was strengthened. It's all good if you maintain a servant's heart even when you feel betrayed. My friends, stuff happens, and stuff will happen. Question is, what are you going to do when you get there? Minister. You're going to get stabbed in the back. You're going to get lied to. Unfair things are going to happen to you. And by the way, life is not fair. Life is not fair. Some people have things other people want. Some people have tragedy happen, and some people don't. Life is not fair. But God is righteous. According to his plan, it is right. We do not want life to be fair. We do not want to get what you deserve. Sin deserves death. You don't want that. God, give me grace. Okay, you want more than fairness. Number two, or B, Joseph's gifts were sharpened for later use by his continued faithfulness to use them during hard times. They were sharpened. In other words, when God had Joseph in prison, God said, Joseph, use those gifts, brother. Get them ready. Because here's what's happened. When he was in prison, there were two guys in prison that he ministered to. One was the chief butler, and one was the chief baker of Pharaoh. They both got thrown in prison. And they both had a dream. The chief butler said, hey, Joseph, I had a dream. Can you tell me what it means? He said, yes. He said, tell me what the dream was. He said, I had three vines and grapes. And in the dream, I was squeezing the grapes into a glass and giving it to Pharaoh. He said, oh, your dream? You're going to be reinstated to your office, and you're going to serve Pharaoh again. He says, really? He says, remember me when you get reinstated. The other guy said, hey, I had a dream too. He said, what was your dream? He says, there were three baskets on my head and bread in the top basket, and the birds of the air came and ate the bread of the basket. He said, oh, your dream's a little different, brother. Joseph, the Pharaoh's going to take your head off and hang you, and the birds of the air are going to eat your flesh. Let's look at verse 19. Look at verse 13. First, look at verse 13. He says, now within 3 days, chapter 40, verse 13. 13, now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Look at verse 19. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head up from you and hang you on a tree. This is the other guy. And the birds of the air will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, he's in prison. He could easily have an attitude in prison. He didn't do anything to get there.
I ain't helping nobody in prison. Man, he put me in here when I don't deserve it. That girlfriend, I didn't want to get with that girl. She was all calling me every day, lie with me, lie with me. I said no, and I got to end up in prison.
You know what he said? He says, here's where I am. I'm in prison, so I might as well minister to the people in the prison. I might as well exercise my authority that God has given me, my organizational skills, my dream interpretation skills. I might as well do what I got. That's why I'm here. Wherever God's put you, minister to those people around you. No matter how you got there, even if you're in a place and people are involved in your life because of tragedy, minister to those people. Even if there are people in your life because you got wronged, minister to those people. Minister to those people. Look in your lesson plan. It says, Joseph was saved from prison because of those he helped while he suffered. He was saved from prison. The chief butler, he's back in Pharaoh's palace. Pharaoh has a dream. He has a dream that these fat cows were grazing, seven of them. And then these skinny cows appeared in the dream and ate the fat cows. Then in part of the dream, these seven stalks of barley were growing, and then these seven skinny stalks grew and ate the big ones, the healthy ones. He doesn't know what the dream is. Look at verse 9, chapter 41. The chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream. In one night, he and I. Each of us dreamt according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted to us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged the other guy. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And your lesson plan. Joseph was saved from prison because those he helped. It says it's all good if you help others with their problems, even if it doesn't seem to help you with yours. Ooh. See those little kids up here? Bless little kids. Be nice to little kids. Little kids grow up to be big kids. I can't tell you how many little kids that I knew 15 years ago that are now big kids. They're 30 years old. Kids that were in my youth group, 30 years old, now they're 30, 31, having kids. You never know who you're helping. Now, you don't do it for that reason, but it's something to be aware of. Because if you are mean to somebody, oh, it'll come back to you. You know what Joseph said? You know what? I'm going to be minister to these guys because it's the right thing to do. And eventually, it came back to get them out. When you're in hard times, you never know the kind of people God's going to bring into your life in hard times. You never know. You never know. And you never know how it's going to benefit you by blessing them. Instead of getting your eyes so fixed on fixing the problem. Remember, the problem is designed to fix you. When you're in the problem, practice doing ministry. Practice being a Christian. A lot of times we forget our Christianity when hard times come. In other words, we forget to be kind. We forget to pray. We forget to read our Bible. Practice. Matter of fact, think of somebody right now you're not getting along with, you have a little tension with. Why don't you practice being humble, and when you get out of here, call them up and say sorry. That's easy. I know some of you are like, I ain't doing that. You just don't understand my problem. No, I do understand your problem. But I understand God, that God's bigger than your problem. And that his grace and humility is bigger than your pride if you let it. Practice. You having a problem right now? You having stress? You're worried about something? Practice being kind to somebody. Practice being patient. Practice being generous. Practice forgetting yourself and esteeming others better than yourself. All the stuff the Bible tells us to do all the time. But especially when things are not going right is when your character is going to be shaped and molded the best. D. Joseph's ultimate position as world leader was secured by his faithful use of his God-given gifts. It's all good if you continue to prepare for God's purpose instead of your own. if no matter what is happening on your left, on your right, above, below, behind, or in front, if you say, I am going to pursue God's call on my life, I'm not going to worry about this problem. I'm not going to worry about this guy, this girl, this job. I'm not going to worry. What has God called me to do? And all these circumstances are designed to make me a better person so I can do what God's called me to do. Understand that. Because what God has called you to do, he hasn't forgot about either. What God has called you to be, he has not forgot about either. And whatever he's allowing you to go through is designed to help you be better at what he's called you to do. Look what it says in chapter 41, verse 37. So the advice was good to the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a man as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, the interpretation of the dream, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. And you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. What? What? Now listen, 17 years old, has a dream. Y'all going to bow down to me? His brother's like, we ain't bowing down to you. They dig a hole. They throw him in a pit. And then they say, let's kill him. They say, don't kill him. Sell him. They sell him. He gets sold twice. He goes into Potiphar's house. He's blessed. Potiphar's wife, come lie with me. Come lie with me. He gives her the husband. He gets thrown in jail. He's in jail. He tells the guys in jail his dream. They forget about him. He's in jail. Now he's mad because they betrayed him again. And all of a sudden, he's the most powerful man in the world except the Pharaoh. God, why'd you do that? Why couldn't we just done that? God says, that is that. My ways are not your ways. That is that. You went from here to here, and you went straight line. There was a storm, earthquake, a typhoon, snowstorm, but it was a straight line. That's all it was. Our perception is not reality. It's reality to us, but it's not reality. It's what God says. And God says, you know what? You had issues. If I would have done that to you the way you wanted, you would have crashed at the end. You would have been strong enough. You'd have been puffed up. You would have thought it was you. But I had to prepare you, groom you, mold you, humble you, train you, teach you. You had so much stuff I had to do that you don't even know. You don't even know. It's like a guy selling a used car. Okay, I won't say used car. You used car salesman? I'm sorry. I had a feeling there was going to be one somewhere in here. Someone selling their own car. How about that? Okay, and you know all the problems your car had. Okay, how many of y'all, implicate anybody, but we all been there. You had a car, you're like, yo, why don't you buy this car? It's a really good car. And it runs good, and you know. It's been in the shop every week. The tires getting ready to fall off. You know, don't ask me. I won't tell you. That means I'm not lying. So, you know, you don't. But you sell this car. You go, oh, man, it's a great car, great car. And your wife's in the bathroom going, now, are you going to tell him about the carburetor? You going to tell him about the transmission? You going to tell him what the mechanic said last week? No, I ain't going to tell him that. See, what you say? I'm fine, God. Just give me success now. He goes, no, you got it. You got transmission problems, you got carburetor problems, you got brain problems, you got so many problems. You just don't know, you don't understand. And you don't even believe that you have problems. You think you're okay. God says, no. So I'm going to teach you this. And if you're good and obey me, things will work out. But if you don't obey me, things won't work out. All things work together for good for those who love God. What does love God mean? Obey God. If you obey God, things work out. If you disobey God, things don't work out. that's true. Now, if you disobey God and things start not working out, you can begin to obey God and then they can work out. How does that work? I don't know. God's ways are not my ways. And how he can turn your mistake and my mistake into a good thing, only he can do that. Even when you mess up. You can deliberately just mess up. And the minute you say, God, I'm ready to obey, God somehow makes it a good thing. I don't know. The problem, the easy thing is just don't mess up. Do what he says all the time. But even if you mess up and you say, Lord, I want to repent, and you get it right, guess what? They work out. Joseph, he kept on keeping on through the hard times, the ups and downs, and he ended up right where God wanted him. Now, turn to chapter 45. End of the story. And if you're really interested, read through chapter 42, 43, 44, and see how his brothers came to him. They bowed down to him. They wanted to get food. He had all the food in the world. But it gets to a point where Joseph has to reveal himself to his family. Look what it says in verse 1, chapter 45. Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out and said, make everybody go out for me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. It was just his brothers and him. He sent all the Egyptian people out of the room. Verse 2, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of the Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? He hasn't seen his father. Doesn't know anything about his family. But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. They were confused. Verse 4, Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came in. He says, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold to Egypt. Can you imagine? They're like, oh man, we're in trouble now. We be in trouble. Because see, Joseph had all the food in the world. The world was a worldwide famine, and they were coming to him saying, please give us food for our family. And you have to read the story of what Joseph put them through. But he's now saying, I'm your brother. You sold me. And they're like, oh, he's going to get us. But look what he says in verse 5. Joseph says, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Oh, God! Look at you, listen, write this down, you listen. Joseph acknowledged God's goodness in his trial. He acknowledged God's goodness in his trial. It's all good if you recognize God's sovereignty. Sovereignty is God's ultimate rulership over everything. You know what Joseph said? Joseph said, when I dreamt the dream and told you and you guys sold me and I cried. When you threw me in a pit, I cried. When you said you were going to kill me, when you sold me to the Ishmaelites and I went to Egypt, I cried and you wouldn't change your mind. And then I was in Egypt with a foreign land, didn't know if I would see my family, and I was lonely, couldn't speak the language. I was crying. I was mad at you. Then Potiphar's wife betrayed me. Then the guy in the prison betrayed me. And all along, I'm thinking, why, God, why, God? But now I see. Now I see. It was God. It was God. Do you think God can borrow you so other people can get help? Look what it says. Look what it says in the next verse. Next verse, it says, for these two, verse 6, for these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years that there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Let me tell you something. All that I've been through is worth it. Because you're going to get helped. Can God borrow you to help somebody else? Can God borrow your money, your house, your health, your family, so someone else can be helped? Can he inconvenience your time to change the direction of your life, to take you out of one job and close your business down so you can start another one over here so someone else can help? Does he have the permission to do that? Because listen, when stuff happens in our life that we don't like, we're telling God, God, no, you don't have permission over this. This is mine. Don't mess with my stuff. I love messing with my kids. Scaring them. We have a little scare thing. It's lifelong. Ever since they were born, we scare each other. When they were little, they couldn't do it, so I always got them. Then they grew up. And they started figuring out how to scare you. You know, you walk around the corner, they go, boo. So that's like a thing we do. So if they do something really bad, like if they get me, then I tell them, don't go to sleep. Because like right when they're going to sleep, I'll crawl up next to the bed and go, ah, and stab them, you know, with a pencil or something, right? When we eat Dessert, ice cream. Ice cream is the world's favorite food. Amen? Amen. Everybody likes ice cream. Dish out the ice cream, and everyone's got their ice cream. Okay? It was all in the tub, right? It was one tub, and then when you put it in different bowls, it now becomes yours. So what I like to do is taste everybody else's ice cream. It's all the same ice cream, but I want your ice cream. Well, how can you get my ice cream? This is my ice cream. You know, you eat your own ice cream. No, I want to taste your ice cream. Now, I know it tastes the same as mine, but I want to mess with them. They say, Daddy, this is my ice cream. Get your own. God owns everything we have. He owns you. Your health, your future, your dreams. And when he wants it, give it to him. Don't say, God, you can't have my schedule. You can't have my kids. You can't have my house. You can't have my money. Tis. You rather give it to him and release it to him. Prepare with the end in mind. God, here it is. I'm not doing this. Because it's painful when you have to do this to get it out of my hand. But if I'm like this, it's not painful. So I'm going to prepare now. God, here it is. Here's my whole life. Joseph said, you know what? All that I've been through, it's okay because it's going to help somebody else. Is it possible you're going through something right now to help somebody else? Lastly, Joseph acknowledged the personal benefits to his character, personal status, and spiritual growth. It's all good if you allow God to shape and mold your character through hard times. Look at verse 8. So now it was, Joseph speaking, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all Egypt. Hurry now, go to my father and say to him, thus your son Joseph. Says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come now, do not tarry. You know what Joseph said? He says, hey, brothers, it was painful. I cried. I hated you. I was mad. But you know what? God sent me here to bless me. You may not see that now in the midst of what you're going through. You may not see that now in the midst of what you're going through. But my encouragement to you is to think back to stuff you've been through. And how God used it in your life, or maybe how he wanted to use it, you missed it. And how you got through it and realized, you know what, that ended up okay, that ended up okay, that ended up okay. You know what? This one's going to end up okay. I just went to Africa. I do not like flying long ways. Not because I'm scared of flying. It's just boring and tiring. So we flew 10 hours to London, sat 9 hours, flew 8 hours to Africa, and it was 7 o'clock in the morning when we got there, so we had to work all day. So it's like, you know, it's just long. You're like feeling like a hamburger. And then you don't sleep. For 12 days, you're sleeping 3 hours, 4 hours a night because you can't go to sleep. Then you got to fly 8 hours to London, wait 6 hours, and fly 10 hours. It's like, ugh. And we're going back in December, and I'm looking forward to what's going to happen when I get there. But I don't want to fly over there. It's just a pain in the neck. But you know what? I'll get over it. Really will. I'll get over it. And you can say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And it's going to, my life is miserable. You will get over it. You will. And guess what? If you trust God and you're faithful, you'll be better because of it. And guess what? You will say, thank you, God, for that pain. Thank you. I was talking to a couple today. Their son was in a motorcycle accident. He's in the hospital. He's paralyzed. And we were talking about the whole thing. And they can tell you now that what God is doing in that family because of this is amazing. It's amazing. And we prayed. It was right before service today. We prayed. And my prayer to them was that one day they'll be able to say, Lord, thank you this happened. Because of what God is doing and will do in their life. And you know what? It was like, we understand that. It hurts. You wonder why. You cry. But you know what? The big picture, God, thank you. Thank you that you love me enough to hurt me just enough to heal me. There was a man, I was watching a video a long time ago, and he told an illustration about a surgeon who operated on his friend. And his surgeon was telling him what he did. He had a big scar, cut him open. And his friend said, man, you cut me open. You sliced me like that. He said, you know what? I had to hurt you to heal you. I had to cut you open to take the cancer out. But you're going to be better now. God does that. But he does it gently and lovingly and according to his ultimate wisdom. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you are gentle and a very accurate, skilled surgeon. You know all our pain, you know all our sin, our faults, our struggles. And you know the thoughts that you think towards us. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. And you know the path that we have to go through. The ups and downs, the lefts and rights, the forwards and backwards that we have to experience in order to be molded and shaped into the image, your image. And I pray, Lord, that we would always remember it's all good. As long as we obey you and trust you and minister to people, love people, as long as we allow you to be God, we'll get through it and we'll be better for it. Lord, I pray for people today who are going through struggles. Some are addicted to things, depressed. Some could even be contemplating killing themselves. Lord, I pray you encourage them to, after the service, to come forward for prayer. Even if they're in the Casa Real room or the lobby watching on video. Lord, I pray there are pastors here, ministers who want to pray with you and encourage you and talk to you about these things. Don't leave today. This is the place you come for that. You don't come just to listen to the preacher. You come to worship, get the word, but also to talk with people. And before you leave, come up under the screens to the front of the stage here, to the left and to the right. Pastors and ministers want to talk with you. And Lord, I pray as we leave today that we would think about things we're going through and that we would consider the fact that you are shaping our character. You are encouraging our growth, our dependence on you, while at the same time implementing your eternal purpose in our life. It hasn't changed. It was established before the foundations of the earth. I pray that we would trust that and know that and keep our eyes fixed on the author and finisher and foundation of our faith, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Please encourage people today. Show them, even amidst the storm, how good it is. How much you love them. Shine that ray of hope right through that cloud. But Lord, even show them how beautiful the rain is, how pretty the snow is, how awesome a tornado is. Lord, even those things are beautiful. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for knowing us. Thank you for encouraging us when no one else can and most people won't. You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we start walking out, we're going to sing a song. I'm going to ask y'all if y'all can let me get down the aisle so I can get to the front door. But next week, please bring your friends and the team. And if you want prayer, we got people underneath the screens that want to pray with you.